This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yes, that lion forms on the right, babe. Not that Mackey's back in town. Look out, old Mackey is back.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah, no singing. No singing allowed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. I got you for 3.5 hours as we take you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We got Fleas on the other side. Emmanuel Babari still hovering over me. And that's a tall hover. He is a tall guy. I'm just trying to get over what we just watched. Yes, the Yankees take a victory 3-2. Take another series. That's what we just heard. What we just listened to here on The Fan. Devin Williams made it interesting. I doubt we'll get to it. The Yankees are hot. They're 15 out of their last 19. They're 7 games up. Great. I'll get to that tomorrow. I'm really excited about that. But right now it's about the Knicks. As they lose to the Pacers, 130-121, game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They are now down 3-1 in the series, and it is gut check time, as obviously the season is on the brink. Game 5, now tomorrow night, for their lives at Madison Square Garden after what was, in every way, shape, and form, a disappointment. In every way. From the effort to start the game defensively, as the Pacers came out and scored 100 points in the first quarter, the Knicks were able to match and keep it close and even had a lead in the first half of this game. But so sloppy, and the effort just wasn't there. And I'm sorry, nobody played well in this game. And I know we're going to be mad at Tibbs, and we'll get to this in a little bit. I know we're going to get mad at Thibodeau, and I know the fan base is going to be all upset about the different matchups. And I think a lot of this is because Rick Carlisle is such a well-known, well-respected, well-thought-of coach that the perception is he's coaching circles around Tibbs. And I've been critical of Tibbs. But we watched this game. The only thing maybe, as me and Fleas are talking about, the only thing maybe that I have a real problem with Tibbs is not getting Josh Hart off the floor earlier. He was atrocious in this game. That was the worst game for a guy we all love. A guy who is the heart and soul of the team. Pun intended. The guy who gets those big rebounds as he did in game number 3. Who makes the winning plays. He could not have made more dumb. He tried to fit passes into small windows time and time again. And he is the main reason when we talk about all the numbers you've been hearing. I'm sure if you watch the post-game show, if you've listened to, wherever you've listened to, or whatever you've watched, ESPN, TNT, MSG, 17 turnovers from the New York Knicks leading to 20 points. That's Josh Hart in transition making terrible passes that lead to fast breaks to the Indiana Pacers. 17 turnovers. In this game, Jalen Brunson turning the ball over. Josh Hart turning the ball over. Mikal Bridges missing every shot. OG Anunoby missing shots. I mean, this game, the effort just wasn't there. And the big numbers are, obviously, the turnover battle, 17 turnovers, 20 points. Fast break, which we talked about endlessly heading into this series. How much we know the Pacers want to run. How fast they want to play. And in this game, much like game 1, we heard, oh, we're playing at the Pacers' pace. They're playing at the Pacers' pace. Well, certainly they were, mainly because of turnovers, but 22-2 in fast break points. To me, 17 turnovers leading to 20 points, the fast break battle 22-2, and then the lousy, disgusting, and this is what bothered me the most. The effort coming out of the third quarter was unbelievably bad. They looked like they were playing in slow motion. How is this team that I claim I trust, that we claim we trust, that have watched over and over again come through when things are on the line, when their season is on the line, when a series is on the line, when a game is on the line. We trust this team to respond and show up. And coming out of the halftime in a game that they desperately need, they give you that performance to start the third quarter with turnovers and ugly possessions and poor defense. That was unbelievably bad. That was, I could not believe how they came out and played at the start of the third quarter. I could not believe it. They went on and turned a 5-point game into a 12-point game, rather. In the first 3 minutes of the third quarter, and you consider the run at the end of the second quarter, and that's the other thing, too. Every quarter is won by the Pacers. The urgency. You know how important it is? We all know this in the game of basketball. They were talking about it a lot on the broadcast. We all know how important it is to close out quarters. Every single quarter is closed out and dominated at the end of it by the Indiana Pacers. Every single one. And to have the second quarter end the way it did, where they go out on that run, where the game, the Knicks were up by 2 points in the second quarter. They ended down 5 at the end of the half. And then they come out and let a 5-point lead become a 5-point deficit, become a 14-point deficit with turnovers. Back-to-back Halliburton steals. That's how you start the third quarter. Back-to-back Halliburton steals, who, by the way, we want to talk about the superstars in this series. We want to talk about the best players in this series. We want to talk about the guy who stepped up in the moment. How about a 30-point triple-double without a turnover from Halliburton, who by far, was the best player in this series. Has been the best player in this series and was the best player in this game. You want to know why they're down 3-1? We could talk about Tibbs, and we could, like, honestly, it makes me laugh. Like, I'm sorry, it makes me laugh. Now they can't play Brunson. Now they're better off playing Shamit. Like, it worked in game number 3, and I was looking for it to be something that could make an impact moving forward. But if you watch this game, Mikal Bridges doesn't hit a shot until the fourth quarter. And then when he hits two, they decide to run the game through him in the fourth. But, like, nothing is working this entire game, pretty much. OG Anunoby looks terrible offensively. He can't finish at the rim. How many times? I know there's a part of the game where there was 5 quick fouls against the Knicks on the Pacers. And it felt like it was very, very touch-and-go fouls. And then on the other end, OG Anunoby's getting hit in the head going to the rim, no foul call. All right, there was some of that. There was a stretch where the officiating really impacted the game, but it's not nearly why the Knicks lost this game. And how many times has OG Anunoby, Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, how many times do they have to go to the rim and not be able to finish even when they're fouled? They have good looks. They're not getting wrapped up. They still can't finish at the rim. It's been a major problem. It's been a series-long, postseason-long problem for Karl Anthony Towns, other than the fourth quarter of game number 3. But in this game in particular, nobody could finish at the rim. And the amount of foul shots that the Knicks took. Like, we're going to complain about officiating when they took that many foul shots? That was their entire offense in the second half. Was Jalen Brunson at the free throw line?
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I mean, just a sloppy, sloppy game of basketball. And I'm sorry. I don't care. I know how bad the starting five has been. I understand the plus minus. I understand that when they brought in Shamet and they brought in Wright and they let that unit with Karl Anthony Towns go in the fourth quarter of game number three, it won them a game. It came from behind 10 points in that fourth quarter. I'm sorry. You watch this game and you think it's matchups. You watch this game and you think it's Tibbs. Not, and I've been critical of Tibbs. I have been. They did not play well. Everyone on the court stunk for the Knicks. 2 points in the fourth quarter for Jalen Brunson. 2 points in the fourth quarter for Karl Anthony Towns. As they got the game back to a 6-point game at one point, all of the possessions are being run through Mikal Bridges in the fourth quarter. You're telling me that was Tibbs' decision not to give it to Jalen Brunson? That's the men on the court making bad decisions, playing sloppy basketball. The effort they got from the Knicks in this game, from the players, was just, I'm at a loss for words with how bad they were in this game. Every one of them. And Josh Hart in particular, I mean, he was unplayable. That's the one thing I'll give Tibbs. That's the one thing. I have to admit, that's the one thing. It was so bad, I had to get him off the court. How many times, what was it, it felt like three straight steals were given right back to the Pacers. It wasn't all Josh Hart. I think, Wright had a double dribble right off of a steal. That was a killer. Like, they made mental mistakes all over the basketball court. And Josh Hart was atrocious with these passes, whether it's trying to lob it at the rim, whether it's trying to make passes in transition, whether it's, it was just, Deuce McBride driving to the basket and looking out. You could feel it coming that they would let them drive to the basket, and then the whether it Obi Toppin or whoever else would rush to the corner to steal the pass as you knew it was going to be sent out to the 3-point line. And that's the thing to me. Look, you know you're going to have a tough time slowing down the Indiana Pacers, especially when they shoot like this and Haliburton was shooting from all over the place. And Nesmith, who we thought might have an ankle issue, had zero ankle issues. It was a non-issue. He comes out, hits the first two threes of the game, and played tough defense against Jalen Brunson the entire full court. But, like, they came out and played their game. And that's what we talk about losing game one, right? Because there's going to be games where they play their game. Knicks are going to play their game. And let's be honest, the Pacers have had the better of play in this entire series, other than game one. Even game three, it felt like the Knicks stole it. The Pacers have been the better team. And of course, there are matchups and of course, there are coaching decisions. But to me, this is about the players. They have not played well. They did not shoot well. This is a team that's also right up there with the Pacers as one of the better offensive teams in the sport. And they're just not as gelled as the Pacers. It just doesn't work as well. Here's a major problem that we really haven't focused on, but we have over the last couple games because we've noticed how much better the offense can be when it's rolling through one player. Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson have got to find a way to be productive together. And that hasn't really come all year, and it hasn't been here in the postseason. They're two best players who are clearly defensive liabilities, and that's what we've spoken about mostly, is that to have them both on the floor at the same time is killer for the defense. But how about offensively? There's really no pick and roll with them. There's no two-man game. It's one of them with role players and hopefully run the offense through them. Or that's it. This offense is disjointed. It had way too many turnovers and just not enough made shots. And Mikal Bridges, whose mid-range game has been great all year, failed him in this one. OG Anunoby didn't do anything offensively. I mean, he manages to score 22 points, 7 from the free throw line. He's 1 of 7 from 3 in this game. But I don't want to hear that, they didn't play right enough. They didn't play Landry Shamet enough, and that's why they lost this game. The starting five sucks. Well, if the starting five sucks, you're not going to win. Like, here's a news flash. Like, everyone's pointing, the starting five, it's a minus. Well, if the starting five is going to get worked, they're going to lose. But to me, it is the sloppy play. It is the atrocious start of the third quarter. Like, that really bothers me. These guys have always shown up when their lives are on the line. They've always shown up when they need it. And to come after blowing a 2-point lead in the second quarter, after allowing it to get to a 5-point deficit heading into with another dumb foul with 1.1 seconds left from Josh Hart, which I don't know if it should have been a foul or not. We could argue that. He pushed him in the back. But with 1.1 seconds left off of a miss, you allow the Pacers to go to the foul line, build it to a 5-point lead, and then you come out and it's back-to-back turnovers and allow 5 to become 12? Because that's where I felt the game was lost. That's where I felt the game is lost. Because as much as they came back from 20 points down in game number 3, and as much as they were down 10 in the fourth quarter, this team, the way they were playing last night, and they said it during the broadcast. Van Gundy said it during the broadcast. This is different because game 3 was 80-70. This was already in the hundreds. They were playing their game. They were getting baskets. Halliburton was playing an excellent game. You weren't going to be able. The Knicks aren't good enough defensively, no matter who Tibbs plays. They're not good enough defensively to stop them. They have to figure out how to score. And they can't be turning the ball over and giving 17 turnovers leading to 20 points. And you can't come out with a lackluster effort and allow yourself to fall behind 12 in the third quarter because they were too good offensively in this game. But that's the worst game I've ever seen Josh Hart play as a New York Knick. That was an atrocious, atrocious effort. He couldn't hold on to the ball. He was giving it back to the Pacers at almost every turn. I mean, and now it's down 3-1. I don't know if the series is over. I don't think it is. I think they can come back tomorrow night, win at Madison Square Garden, force it back to Indiana, and see what they go from there. I do think the team is capable of beating this team, but let's be fair about it. We could talk about coaching decisions. We could talk about the starting five. We can talk about playing more of the bench. We could talk about Carlisle out-coaching Tibbs, and there's probably a vein of truth, if not more than that, to every one of those things I just said. But that is not why they're losing. They're losing because their star player is playing better, other than Karl-Anthony Towns in the fourth quarter of Game 3. Their star player in Halliburton is playing better than our star players. They have more options and more guys like Pascal. Like, they have more guys who are hitting shots, Siakam, he's the one making big-time shots. He scores 30 points in this game. He's the one who makes the big play. He's their half-court offense. He's the one hitting shots. Mikal Bridges is not. That's the bottom line. Nesmith comes out and hits the first two threes and sets a tone for the basketball game. The Knicks do not. The Indiana Pacers are a deeper, better team over the first four games of this series, and they deserve to be up 3-1. And the Knicks deserve to be down 3-1. They did not come out with the necessary effort to go win this game against the Pacers. And in the third quarter in particular, that was an embarrassing effort. And they just don't have enough answers offensively. When you get into a game like that with the Pacers, they're tough to slow down. And, you know, their defense wasn't great, but the Pacers are going to do this on some nights. That's why losing game one is a killer. But, like, there's going to be nights where you can't slow them down. You have to find better offense. And Mikal Bridges has got to provide some. OG Anunoby's got to provide some. Karl Anthony Towns has got to do it more consistently. And even, you know, Karl Anthony Towns again in this game gets into early foul trouble and has to go to the bench. And Mr. Clutch, he's not free of any of this either. Why is he not? We talk about how Karl Anthony Towns has to demand the ball. How in the world are they running? How in the world is Mikal Bridges, who I know he hit like two threes in the fourth quarter, how is then every shot going to him? How is this team that has been built on Bridges, I mean on Jalen Brunson, bringing them out of the fire? He's Mr. Clutch. He won the damn award. How in the world is he not the one taking shots at the end of the game? How does he have two fourth quarter points when they're down? That was just a despicable game. This one, I mean, listen, game one is, as I opened the show, welcome to hell. That's a game that is hard to duplicate. That's a game you have to make so many mistakes to lose. That is a game that they have to hit every damn shot to win. Like, it's one of those games that it feels fluky. It's crazy. The Knicks definitely made a ton of mistakes. But as annoyed as I was at that one, they were the better team for 46 minutes. And they allowed a lead to slip away, and it's a gut punch. And the overall, you know, what feels like now, the death knell, we just weren't sure of it yet in game number one. But this game, after what they did in game number three, to come out with the defensive intensity that they did to start the game was unacceptable. The amount of turnovers they created in this game was unacceptable. Starting that third quarter after blowing it at the end of the second quarter and coming out and playing the way they did in that start of the third quarter and allowing that five-point deficit to balloon to 12 is unacceptable. How the offense was run at the end of the game is unacceptable. This is a real knock to a team that I always believed would find a way to step up in the big moments. And even if they would have lost, I could have lived with it. This was just a miserable, ugly game where no one played well, and the Pacers absolutely took it to them. And they had zero answers. And we can blame the coach. He's not above blame. He's made mistakes in this series. He made mistakes in this game. But tell me who was playing well. Tell me who's the five on the floor we feel are going to win this game for the Knicks. It doesn't exist. 888-808-1019. Let's go to the calls here. We like to go to the calls off of these games with the Knicks. You know how it's raw for me. It's tough to even talk about how angry I am with the way they played in this game. Let's go to Leonard in Rockland County. What's up, Leonard?
Hey, C-Mac. Morning, Horace.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I just think that in order to get Towns and Brunson involved and on the offensive end, I don't think the Knicks can outpace the Pacers in the actual pace of the game. I think there's no chance in hell that the Knicks can actually like win three in a row for sure if they play at this fast pace that the Pacers play. I think that this pick and roll with Brunson and Towns is a lost cause. I think that the only way for this offense to work with Towns and Brunson and at the top, which is what we need, is that we should just post up Towns all the time and just give him the ball, feed him the ball on the post, play half court, and if he doesn't have a shot, pass it out. If he gets double teamed, then hopefully you'll have open shooters and Bridges and Obi and maybe even Brunson.
Yeah, I hear you, but they got to play offense too because they got to get into better transition defense. How many times off of makes? Now, to be fair, the Pacers were playing the same game and the Knicks were able to go do it to them, but how many times off of made baskets, not even long rebounds off missed threes or turnovers, how many times off makes did the Pacers go right down the court and have a quick layup? Have a good look. Off of makes. So you could tell me all that, slow it down, play him in the, half court. The other thing that they're able to do is they're able to slow, like we talk about the fast pace, they are able to slow down the Knicks in one aspect where they're playing full court press. I mean, it's not really a press, but full court pressure the entire way up. By the time the Knicks cross half court, there's only 14 seconds left on the shot clock. But the transition defense was atrocious. It was one of the bigger key factors heading into this series. And off of makes, they're getting layups. So I don't know if there is a way to slow down the Pacers if they want to run. On some level, you want to win this series, you're going to have to run with them, sure. You want to slow the game down. The Knicks slowed the game down. I mean, how many foul shots? It felt like their entire third quarter possessions were foul shots after the initial terrible run at the beginning of the third quarter. Their offense was Jalen Brunson getting to the foul line. They were talking about on the broadcast, at least this is slowing it down. You're getting points without the clock running. There's only so much you could do to slow them down. They have a bunch of guys who can run. They have a bunch of guys who could score. There's only so much you can do. You've got to combat them with offense. You have to have multiple ways to score. They're an offensive team. They've been all year. I know they have Mikal Bridges, who's supposed to be a much better defender. He hasn't been. I know they have OG Anunoby, who's an all world defender. He hasn't been. But this team hasn't been a defensive team all year. We can't expect them to slow down the Pacers. They've been an offensive team. They need to find ways to score. Now I know they score 121. A lot of it at the foul line. You got to slow them down too. It's a mix, no doubt. But the offense at the end of this game. And they just don't, they made shots, the Knicks did not. Plain and simple. 888-808-1019, quick break. We'll come back and take your calls as we'll have the update. We'll come back, get to more of your Knick calls on a disappointing night where I thought more than just mismatches and more than just the Pacers playing they wanted to play, the Knicks were awful in this game. This might be one of the uglier games, even in blowouts. This might be one of the more disappointing, ugly, sloppy games they've played this entire postseason, and it was with their lives on the line. And that's something we haven't seen from this group yet. Now we'll find out how they play with their actual lives up against it, as they are now down 3-1 in a official must-win game tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.